Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is not Heidi. Hey, everybody, this is Jeremy. Welcome to my world.
Oh, no.
Wow, you threw me off for a minute because I actually thought Heidi was here for a second. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You just get on that autopilot. What's up, Salty Saul? How you doing over there?
Doing well, guys. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Kyle Rittenhouse has been going on a victory lap, a victory tour. Ooh. Across all the conservative sphere, podcast, and all the conservative folks out there are interviewing. He's doing pretty good interviews. Tim sends me one, freaking hilarious. What was he?
Four doors, more whores, baby.
Dear Lord.
Anyways, we're going to talk about all that. And Christmas came early. Alec Baldwin, Jussie Smollett, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, all of them under hot water. We're going to talk about everything that's been going on this week. And we've been gone for a couple weeks, so we're going to talk about all that. Also, judges all over the country have halted Biden's vaccine mandates. The lockdown mandates, very good news for conservatives these past couple weeks. Also, Liz Cheney is down 10 points in Wyoming. Awesome. And Biden's Marxist communist nominee for the controller of the currency, she got denied. So a lot of good news. Christmas is early. We're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Are we ready for the J-Files?
The J-Files. What do you have going on?
Jeremy. Is that the official name? Yes. Officially the J-Files? Yeah. All right. So the first article I have: men who vape are twice as likely to suffer from erectile dysfunction.
You have that problem, Saul?
What? What did you say?
Wait, what?
What happened? Say it again.
According to a study, men who use e-cigarettes are more than twice as likely to suffer from erectile dysfunction compared to non-vapers.
What?
So the
Wait a minute.
So it goes on to say that. So I want to get your guys' opinion on this. So it says that researchers surveyed more than 13,000 men over the age of 20 and found that daily vapors were 2.2 times more likely to report impotence compared to men who had never vaped.
I could see that. Look at it.
Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, look at that. You're sucking a dick. More or less.
What?
He's sucking a dick. Look at that picture. You're sucking a tip. It looks like you're sucking a little tip, little pee-pee.
I wonder why
vagina can't get them hard.
Maybe we're better off not putting the pictures up for Tim to look at.
Put a dick in front of their face. They're going to fucking get a hard on. I guarantee.
So the article does go on. The article does go on to say that vaping is definitely a healthier option to smoking. So if you're trying to get off smoking cigarettes,
it's a fucking lie. It's a fucking lie.
What is it?
Okay. It's a fucking lie. You know why? Part? No. Because this shit can kill you real fucking quick. The shit that it does to your lungs and all the vape and everything.
Okay. Well, they're saying it's still better than smoking.
I still say smoke regular cigarettes is healthier for you than this shit.
Okay.
Okay, so anyways,
I wanted
Bing
to ask
bong.
You.
Oh, no, I want to say something though, because as somebody who vapes and has erectile dysfunction
of the group here, Nelson's as a reference, the only person that on the team that vapes is Saul. So,
well, I mean, I could stand here and sit here all day with you guys and tell you, I swear to God, I don't have erectile dysfunction. But the more I will say it, the less credible I will be. But
thou dost protest too much.
Exactly. No, look, what I'll say about this article is this. And I think, I don't know what happened, but there was this move against vaping. And it's weird because like you just said, Jeremy, compared to smoking cigarettes, you know, a lot of people will say, well, there's no science behind it. And there's honestly, dude, the science behind secondhand smoking is bullshit. We can all agree on that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and COVID has proven that the experts, sometimes when you slip a little money in there and give them money for their research, they'll sing whatever fucking song you want them to sing.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well,
the FDA lies.
Yeah. Not even that, but We've come to a situation where, and it started, I think secondhand smoke is a good example, right? They wanted people to stop smoking, right? Everybody wanted people to stop smoking. So it became all right for them to lie about it to get you to stop smoking, right? The means is to the ends or whatever, right? The lying is okay as long as it gets us to the point where people stop smoking, right? And it's the same. The government has, or society, however you want to word it, has gotten to the point where they will lie and make up stories about anything as long as they can justify it within themselves as being worth it in the end, right? We're going to lie about COVID. We're going to tell people that kids are going to be dying in the streets from COVID when none of that came to fruition. And they did it intentionally because they felt that it was worth lying about in the end.
So one of the things I find interesting to that statement is smoking. If you look at where we're at right now, see, the government, everything has been in phases to where we got to right now in present moment with big government, total control. They took all these little subjects, smoking, and they turned it into, but every time the government got involved, they got bigger and bigger and bigger with it, right? So they're like, oh, we were able to get people to think smoking is really bad and control people to literally look at somebody that smoked a cigarette, but, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The stink face you get from people, like the mass Karens, were the original fucking secondhand smoke Karens. You know what I mean?
It's I think it's just,
and it's gone up gradual from there because the government got in and said, you can't smoke indoors. You have to have ventilation. Then you can't smoke indoors. Then they banned it completely.
Right.
And along those lines was also the whole AIDS pandemic. You know, you guys remember that scare? We've talked about it multiple times on the show. And, you know, I remember everybody knew about AIDS and you were going to get it, you know, never mind that the marketing, or I call it marketing because this people, the scientists needed
propaganda.
Exactly. Propaganda. No, but marketing, because they needed money for their goddamn research. Again, folks, just because you're a scientist does not equate that you have wisdom. It does not. I say this over and over again. Let me finish my point with the whole AIDS thing, because we were all under the impression that we could all get AIDS at any moment. Never mind that. What was the real, where was it really happening? It was happening among men and not just men. It was happening with gay men. Exactly.
Bing bong.
Exactly. It needs to be said over and over again. But the thing is that, like, and these were people, and we believed it, but now they've been, and who was behind that whole AIDS
scare?
You're
about to say that, you son of a bitch. Fucking Dr. Fauci.
Exactly. So it's all fucking connected, guys. And you know, I'm glad you brought this article up because, look, like Tim says, I even, when I would be out hanging with Tim, you know, and during the time when Tim was smoking, you know, and we would go into the, you know, because I could vape like wherever outside. At that time point, there was no hysteria behind it. Eventually, now it's just everybody's crazy about it. But we would go out to the smoking area and I'd have my vape. And people, smokers, and you could tell these people had smoked a pack a day, would come up to be me. And those were the only ones. Nobody who ever did not smoke. Did I say that right? Who never came up to me and said, "Hey, man, you shouldn't be vaping that. You don't know what you're putting in your body." No, it was the smokers who would come up to me and say, "Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's dangerous." While they had the fucking cigarette in their hand, I'm like, "What?
A little hypocritical.
It's fucking weird. I just the fucking weirdest shit. I've never experienced anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And real quick, because I know we got to move on, but let's get back. You know, to your point with the AIDS.
Yeah.
When you look at the same guy that's running COVID and telling everybody now you have to have like 4 or 5 boosters to actually be immune to everything, is the same guy that told everybody back in the 80s about AIDS that said, "Oh yeah, it's transmissible in the house and you should wear a mask and not touch anybody." Like, he was trying to do this in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then people had a brain and said,
no, by the way, did not you everybody's know getting AIDS. That the guy who created the method by which they figure out if you have flu or whatever. What is that called? What is that testing called? I forget what it's fucking called.
PCR test?
PCR test. The guy who invented it. You know when he died?
Right before COVID.
Right before COVID. He dies right before. Yeah. And he was he criticized Fauci. And even when he did criticize, this was years ago, folks. Go watch this video. he came out and said, Fauci is a fraud. He doesn't know science. And this is also another thing that he said. They have an agenda. This guy was talking about back then. How does the guy who invented this test that we are now everybody's using for fucking COVID dies right before this pandemic hits? Makes you think, folks, this is fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, could have just been coincidence.
No, Jeremy, because if that guy was still alive today, he could have said, folks, I invented this process. I know this shit. Fauci's a liar. And this shit may have ended there.
Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right?
Even the guy invented the mRNA technology,
yeah,
that doctor, Dr. Malone, he's like, guys, this is not what, this is bad. He's like, this is, and he made his money, but he's against this forced vaccine. He's like, that's not what this technology was for, guys.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. They're
sorry, Jeremy. We hijacked.
All right. Next story. Yeah. Second story. HBO canceled Game of Thrones prequel after spending $30 million on the pilot.
Good.
Wait, did you guys watch the pilot? I didn't watch the pilot. How did I miss the pilot?
No, I don't think they released it.
They better release it.
Basically, Casey, I guess is his name. Casey, who is the chief content officer at HBO. He said, when I saw a cut of it a few months ago after I arrived, it just doesn't work. I don't think it delivers on the promise of the original series. And he didn't disagree, which actually was a relief.
So I'm curious because we all saw it, right? You guys saw it. No spoilers here, right?
Yeah.
So that last season everybody was upset about. I felt it was rushed. I agree. They could have made it a little longer.
You think it was rushed as far as the story
season 8, they could have spread that out to 2 seasons. They could have evolved the character of Khaleesi or whatever, or what's her name, Jesus,
Khaleesi.
Daenerys. They could have I know that they had been leading up to that, right? Especially in season 7 when she torches that guy. But anyway, without getting too much into it, I agree it was rushed, but I think a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of the criticism that I saw was because she turned bad. I think a lot of people were disappointed by that. They wanted her to be one of the good ones, and I'm like, no, I think this it underlines something that I always say on the show, which is you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That was her story. She did not know what to do with the power, and she became what she most hated. And I think a lot of people could not reconcile that in their brains. And that's why they didn't like it. Other than that, I liked it.
Well, and I'm glad HBO canceled it, because every time HBO gets their hands on a series and the main writer or the main person behind it leaves and they go, produce it on their own, they fuck it all up.
Yeah.
They did it by committee
versus, they do it by committee, right? Too many chefs.
Yeah. They screwed up True Blood. Yes, they screwed up this. They screwed up Game of Thrones. There was another one they had. And it's just like, because True Blood, True Blood was based on the books. But once they hit that point where the books were kind of done, they reached that point with True Blood as well. And then they just screwed it all up where she had fucking
flat. You know what's ruining it though? On top of that is a lot of the woke shit that is ruining every show. It's the new wokeism. Like Jeremy says, there's a lot of freaking cooks in the kitchen, and they're all trying to how do we relay our message in this show, and how do we include more diversity and more wokeness into our and it ruins everything, bro. I the other day, and I've seen a lot of posts on this, but the other day I haven't watched live TV in a while, and I was watching live TV, which means that I don't see a lot of fucking commercials. Every fucking commercial now, like Biden was saying, he was bragging about it. It was racially diverse. It's like if there's no more white people in the planet. It's the fucking weirdest shit.
If you want to see white people acting on TV commercials, you have to go to the ADT commercials. There's never any black people breaking into your house. It's always swarby looking white guys.
It's the fucking weirdest
shit. Honestly, though, but like I see it all. I don't really give a shit. It bears nothing to me, but they made it a point. And I brought this up on the show a couple times. the same people that are saying that we have to have diversity, inclusion, and equity and all this bullshit are the same people that for the that have been running shit for the last 100 years. So all of a sudden they have a conscience and going, oh, we're going to make up for our last 100 years of bad, you know, not putting any diversity in commercials. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
No,
like you're the same fucking people.
No, it's that not have been in control people, of all though. This. I don't you think can't it's, listen, it's not the same people. It's all these kids coming out of the same indoctrination.
Company, same company.
Right. But what's happening is these companies are hiring kids straight out of the indoctrination centers. Yeah. And they're coming in and they're making these decisions, right? So I was listening to an interview with Carrie Lake. She's a 25-year news reporter out here in Arizona. Running for governor. She wants to run for governor. Love and her. she was saying about how
now you do.
She left. Yeah. She left because they were hiring in, they were taking these people who had been in the business for 20, 25 years, who were making very good money, and they were replacing them with these kids directly out of college because it was cheaper. And basically they started pushing this agenda, yep. right? Yep. They were pushing the woke agenda. And she's like, she got to the point where she felt like she was lying to people because she wasn't allowed to say, you know, review the stories that she wanted to talk about. And she had to put a particular spin on the stories that she was allowed to talk about. And she's just like, no, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
There's a lot of corruption in this country when it comes. When I say, I don't want to say corruption, but it's corruption between the media, the government.
Definitely,
I
mean, collusion. Definitely collusion.
Collusion. Everything that we've been talking about for the last 2 years, 3 years, it's all coming to a head. And one of the biggest, and not to get off too much of the topic, but as you talk about, you know, this new crop of people coming up, look at the Maxwell trial that's going on.
I'm sorry, is there a trial going on?
The U.S. attorneys, they're like all millennials, like that barely like look like their balls have dropped, you know. And Comey's daughter is the one, they're like the lead prosecutor in this whole thing. Oh,
that's
by the way.
Weird.
This, I mean, we've never even talked about this. This whole trial, this is a show trial. They redacted everything. They redacted every.
Why? What are they hiding?
There you go. When you have wow. the former director of the FBI's daughter prosecuting the case that involves fucking the biggest sex, the biggest child trafficking fucking operation just this world has ever known.
That one under the rug.
That everybody's talked about of all the high profile people and everything else. And they go, oh, everything is redacted because the public, it's just too much for the public and it's too damaging.
No,
okay. No, it's too damaging right, to the wrong people.
How did we go from Game of Thrones to,
sorry,
we always get it all ties.
You know how we are.
All right. Let's go to the next article. I found Timmy a new girlfriend.
No, you say new gorilla. I was like, what?
A new gorilla. So Timmy's favorite state, a Florida man.
Yes.
Daniel Patrigani, whatever, 33 years old, faces attempted first degree murder charges. You guys want to guess what he did?
I'm reading it. What the hell?
Don't read it. Don't read it. Don't read it.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
So apparently the man, he drove across lanes of traffic on the I-95 in Pineda Causeway in Florida. He exited his vehicle naked. He dragged a lady that he ran over across. He dragged her across the ground, strikes her with his fist, and starts choking her.
What the fuck?
So would you have guessed that if I told you that?
Why was he naked? Like, there's a lot of questions that I have.
There's lots of questions. Okay.
So was she in the car with him?
No, she was walking. He intentionally crossed over the lanes of traffic and to run her over, to hit her.
Yeah.
Then gets out of the car naked, drags her across the road and starts beating her up.
What do we think happened? I think they may have been having sex. She walked out of and left the car. He was angry. Yeah.
Maybe
exactly try to run her own.
Maybe,
or she probably took his clothes.
Without reading the story, I don't know. Maybe she was a hooker.
Do they say what happened?
Maybe she was a hooker.
No, it's his girlfriend.
No, they doesn't. It doesn't get into anything like that. It just says that. Basically drug her across the ground and started beating her up. So
fucking hilarious. I'm not gonna lie. This is what happens when you do meth as well, because the guy definitely looks like he's a meth head.
That is weird.
He's got the look. He's got the crazy. And well, he could just start smoking.
That's true.
He's got that crazy Antifa, like liberal, crazy guy look.
He reminds me of Mac from It's Always Sunny. He looks
like yeah, he does look like him.
And he sounds like a narcissist like him. Fucking A, man.
Unbelievable.
Weird.
All right. So last story. Limo driver in clown mask breaks into Las Vegas airport with a fake bomb in bid to fly to Area 51. Just listen to that headline.
Sounds like for TSA, man.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it again. Listen to everything that's involved in this.
Read it.
Limo driver.
One.
In clown mask.
Two.
Breaks into Las Vegas airport.
Three.
With fake bomb.
Four.
In bid to fly.
Five.
To Area 51.
Six.
There's five ringing.
No, there's six. There's six things that are fucking crazy on this thing. The one is the limo.
He drives
the
limo. Fly.
He's wearing a clown mask. He's in the Vegas. He breaks into the Vegas airport. A fake bomb. He wants to fly somewhere. Where is it? Area 51.
Bing. Bing bong. Joe what Biden.
The fuck, Joe man. Biden. Like,
this is Joe Biden's America.
No, I'm going to read this headline like this. All right. Limo driver in a clown mask breaks into Vegas airport with a fake bomb. In a bit to fly to Area 51. Like, the story keeps getting crazier and crazier as you keep going. He's like a Leroy Jenkins.
It really is.
Leroy Jenkins in there.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Just saying. Limo driver named Leroy Jenkins.
Now,
wearing a clown mask.
Like,
sorry. Okay. So his name is Matthew Hancock. 36 years old, right?
Hancock,
yes. He asked the police to identify him as the chosen one. Give me a kabang.
I will.
Drove a Lincoln Continental through the security fences at McCarran International Airport
in
Vegas. This was on the 8th. So this was Wednesday.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, according to the okay.
So many questions. Okay, hold on.
There's a lot of questions. Well, let me finish my
finish reading.
Let me finish him and hopefully soon again. So according to the arrest report, the police received a call about a limo driver doing donuts in the parking lot of the air carrier SJSX. So he's doing donuts in the parking lot. After he was done with the donuts, he drove through two more fences at the airport. So then the police officers find him. He's driving in circles around two planes that are parked on the tarmac. All right.
What the fuck? Look at this guy.
He gets out of his vehicle and puts on the clown mask, telling the nearby workers that he has a bomb.
What the fuck?
The workers took cover and the police took over, basically.
Look at that guy, man. He looks like Richie Fallon.
He told the officers that he had a shotgun and a gasoline device.
He looks like La Bamba's brother.
He has a shotgun and gasoline device in his vehicle.
Oh my God.
And he apparently told the police that he wanted to steal an airplane and fly to Area 51.
You know what?
So there you go.
You know what? This actually makes sense. Another Democrat ran city in another Democrat fucking ran fucking state with no fucking laws, fucking defund the police, bail reforms, all this shit. These people are fucked in the head and they keep allowing this shit to happen. You know what? I'm glad he fucking did. I hope more people fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's
because fucking lawlessness. It's wild. Not on the books.
Thanks for that, Jacob. What happened to TSA? My God.
What happened to TSA?
Well, he blew through the gates. There's no TSA on the gates.
Obviously, there's no security. These fat fucks fucking sitting there eating their fucking donuts.
It was Jeremy, the J Files, man. Yeah, you had good ones today, Jeremy, the J Files.
All right. I'm glad you guys like it. I'll try to keep up the.
That was actually pretty fucking funny.
Thank you for that. All right. So, this topic here that I'm going to bring up, the first one, I'm kind of curious what you guys think. And I think I might have a different opinion than you guys. Okay. So, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but. The CEO of Better.com ends up firing 900 people, 900 employees, and he does it in a Zoom meeting. Did you guys see this meeting? So
I heard about it.
I heard about it. Yeah.
He fucked up.
Wait, what is?
Yeah.
What is better.com?
Mortgage something.
You got a computer, but go to better.com.
Yeah. It's a mortgage company. I didn't know if you guys knew off the top of your head what it was.
Yeah. So, I think it's like all those .coms there. It's a tech company.
Simple online mortgage. Okay. Yeah. So better.com mortgage.
Right. So I'm going to. Yeah, go ahead.
He gets a Zoom call going with, I'm assuming, the 900 people. Did he let go of everybody or just these 900 people?
I'm going to play it. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And so pretend like you're a better.com employee, or think of your current employer and think of if they did it this way. Okay. I want you guys' honest opinion, but I think let me put it this way. Everybody online, everybody, it is in unison that he handled this wrong. So let me play this.
Thank you for joining. I come to you with not great news. The market has changed, as you know, and we have to move with it in order to survive, so that hopefully we can continue to thrive and deliver on a mission. This isn't news that you're going to want to hear, but ultimately it was my decision, and I wanted you to hear from me. It's been a really, really challenging decision to make. This is the second time in my career I'm doing this, and I do not want to do this. The last time I did it, I cried. This time I hope to be stronger. But we are laying off about 15% of the company.
You gotta be kidding me.
Efficiency and performances and productivity.
All we did for the company.
If you're on this call, you are part of the unlucky group being laid off. Your employment here is terminated, effective immediately. What does this mean for what's next? You're going to get an email from HR, askhr@better.com, and your benefits. For all U.S. employees, we're providing 4 weeks.
Oh my God! I can't believe this.
1 month of full benefits and 2 months of COBRA, for which we will pay the premium. So 3 months total benefits if you elect for COBRA.
This is not real. Oh,
thank you for each and every one of your individual contributions to Better. I wish the news was different. I wish we were thriving enthusiastically as we were at the beginning of this year. That's not the case. And I am sure you will leave us and
this is not
be
real.
More successful, more fortunate,
after all we did,
luckier in your next endeavor. I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you for everything you've done for Better.
All right. So I played it all. Just so that you could get the whole, you could listen to it all. And obviously the voiceover that you hear there is the woman who, an employee who was, recording some of it. A lot of the employees ended up publishing their, posting their video, their reaction of how this went down. Now, one thing that he did as soon as the meeting was over, every employee's and I'm gonna wait till Timmy. So as soon as he did this, every employee, as soon as the meeting was over, every employee's computer basically shut down and logged them off, and they could no longer use their computer. So, and now he did, if people were saying, this is wrong right before Christmas, everything, but after listening to that, and I know Timmy, you may not I've heard the rest of it, but honestly, it was just more of the, I'm sorry, this is what it is, this is what's going to happen.
Typical HR shit.
Right. So let me ask you guys this question. What is your guys' reaction to this, and what are your thoughts of how he handled this?
So
you go first.
Basically, obviously it's a bad situation, right? The company obviously had to do something, and they decided to let go. So he said it was 15% of the company, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
900 people is 15%. So that's about 6,000 people that work for the company, right? So sure, it sucks for the 900 people that are gone. But what about the 5,100 that right. are staying, right? Do you take all 6,000 of them down with you? If the company's losing money, it's going to get to the point where it's either we cut our losses or try our best to cut our losses.
Let me mention some facts here. So this guy just gave himself or whatever, I might be lying here, but in the millions of a bonus. And so people are upset about that he gave himself that kind of bonus. And right before the holidays, he lets go of all these people. Meanwhile, the company is also currently hiring people. So a lot of people are saying, well, what's happening here? Why did he do it this way? Why did he do it through a Zoom call? And why before the holidays? And why all this stuff? So yeah, I'll let you continue, Jeremy. I just wanted you to get the facts and why people seem to be upset.
Right. So I guess as far as the idea of doing it over Zoom, it's not, with everyone working from home these days, it's not like you can get everybody into a conference room and let them know. Right. So. Yeah. What are the options to downsize a force that size?
Exactly. There's really no option. I mean, look, could they have done 900 individual Zoom calls?
No.
No, I mean, technically they could. They could have had HR, manager. Their managers could have did it. Like when I went through my layoff in 2019, we all knew it was coming. But also, we know that every company lays people off every quarter. They always have layoffs every quarter, 99% of the time. And you got to remember, there's organizations get fat, and then they realize, like, okay, we can consolidate. But when we got laid off, there were still job openings for IT. It's just not for our area. There was stuff in development and in other operations, things like that. But you can't get upset for a company laying somebody off. Even the fact that he gave himself a bonus. You're running the ship. If you've made money and the stock is growing, obviously you're going to make money. That's you don't go into business to make, you go into business to make money. Sorry, I don't give a shit.
So the outrage, and if you want to do a Twitter search on this, Tim, and look at the comments, and maybe you can read some of the people. Because again, the outrage was unanimous. When this happened, and similar to you guys, my reaction was, well, I guess what's the proper way? And I started thinking about it. Well, Tim, I was laid off in 2019 from the same company, and the way that it happened, a lot of us were, upset, but that happens. That's the natural emotions that you go through, the stages of emotion when you're, being laid off from a company that you work for 15 years and something like that happens. It's a terrible feeling. But I started thinking about, well, what's the proper way? And then I started analyzing, well, what did he say wrong exactly? Right? Is there anything in his talk that he said wrong? And outside of the, I hope I don't cry this time or something like that. Maybe that was disingenuous and he really wasn't going to cry. But for me, it's like the CEO of the company gets you in a Zoom meeting. And to your point, Jeremy, everybody wants to work from home and they want to do everything from Zoom. Why not letting go of somebody through Zoom? Because a lot of the comments were, why not a face to face? This is, and so I'm with you guys. How can, and so people were saying, well, that this is just like callous and there's no feeling. It's like robotic. There's no emotion there. And to me, it's like, how can one person, your boss, care about 900 people all at once? It's impossible right. for anybody to do.
It's not common. Yep.
I just did quick math on that. So let's figure if you were going to call each person individually, right? And let's say the call takes 10 minutes because you can't just say you're fired, turn off all your stuff and go home, right? Or, don't ever call us again. You can't just do that. So let's just say it's 10 minutes, right? That's 150 hours of people talking, right? So if you break that up over 8 hours a day, it's going to take you 19 days to call all 900 people and let them go.
I don't think people so much had a problem with the 900. I think more of the people were talking about that, but I think the biggest problem is is that they got, like, I believe, you know, he got like a billion in COVID, you know. Oh, that was somebody else putting that. But he gives himself a bonus of millions, right? He's already a rich guy, gives himself a big bonus, then lays off the people that help get him that bonus. So I think they were more about the rich guy getting his bonus.
Yeah.
And letting everybody go right
to me. I think the reason, and I'm pretty sure Twitter was feeding this, and because we got to understand the time that we're living in, folks. We're living in a woke, the younger generation is moving towards Marxist. They're full steam ahead in their Marxist agenda. And this resonates with them. The idea that somebody gave themselves a $1 million bonus and you didn't get anything, you know, woe is me, how unfair. I shouldn't be treated this way, whatever. And a lot of the anger also was that he shut down their computers and they could no longer log in. But to Jeremy's point, you know, 900 hours of doing this, can you imagine, or whatever, how many hours it would take to fire 900 people? Can you imagine the second that you fire the first 10, they're going to call their friends and say, hey, the layoffs are coming. And they're the first 100. Eventually, you're going to have a revolt. The company has to think about what would happen, the backlash of disgruntled employees. So for me, that's a smart way to do it. You get all 900. Why not? It's efficient. 900 say, hey, sorry, guys, I'm the head of the company. This is what's going to happen. And this is, you know, you're going to get your benefits till this and you're going to get this until that. And here's, you know, good luck. I saw a movie recently. I'm going to let you talk, Tim, but I was rewatching Moneyball. Did you guys ever watch Moneyball with Brad Pitt?
The story of
the Oakland A's and all that. Well, in that movie, there was a quote that he said, and I saved it. And when he's telling the kid, you know, who he hired who gave him the idea of how, you know, how to hire players based on what their stats and not necessarily what they, you know, anyways. So he tells him, you know, you're going to fire people. And the guy's like, I don't want to fire people. I don't know what to say. How do you fire somebody? And if you guys remember in that movie, he tells him something. He's like, hey, Saul, look, I got to let you go. Tim's going to handle the details. He's going to handle the paperwork. Good luck. Right? Simple. One done. You know, because what happens is that I think and again, it's this younger generation has forgotten that what happened to professionalism. This is not a daycare, folks. This is not a daycare.
They want to be coddled.
Yeah.
They want to be coddled. Like the infamous day when me and you, I mean, obviously, we've talked about this, we've done shows, when we got laid off on the same day. But when they had the layoff at our previous employer, they laid off over 100 people that day. At 9 o'clock, they did the same thing. They hit the button, disabled everybody's accounts. You know what I mean? So basically, once you close your computer, that was it. And you didn't know you were being laid off until your manager came up to you. And the minute you hit lock on your PC, obviously you knew that you're getting talked to and you're getting laid off. But the minute you locked it, that was it. You could not log back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it that way because the company has to protect
it has to protect itself.
It's got to protect itself and it's got to protect
the morale or whatever.
No, not the morale, but like the
interest,
the information. The company interest. You know, you know, they got to protect their brand and everything. Because let's say I had a lot of privileges, right? Let's say right before, boom, I shut down the entire company. They got to make sure that shit doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Because again, disgruntled employees can do some crazy shit. Obviously, if you're on the sales and doing things like that, obviously you probably can't do that much damage, but maybe you can go delete customers out of the database, things like that. Who knows?
But what's crazy,
always have to.
What's crazy? Sorry to cut you off, Tim, but what's crazy to me is that, this company is a .com company, right? It is. It's online. Everything, their presence, everything is online. You do everything online, right? It's not the brick and mortar type of places where you go in, sit down with somebody and get your whatever. And so the younger generation has created this, right? Because the younger generation wants to do everything online. It's a TikTok world. And to me, it's like you guys created this monster that you guys no longer like because you're horrified that this monster has no emotions and there's nobody. You guys are the ones who want to work from home, to Jeremy's point, you know, and you know, do everything through Zoom. Now you don't want to be fired through Zoom. And this is the same, and I might get a little go off a little bit off topic here, but this is the same generation that believes that human beings are parasite, right? Or on the planet, right? Because we're sucking it out of its natural resources. Human beings are parasites. That's why they can support abortion and whatever. They don't believe in God and all this shit you created, folks, right? You said that human life is not valuable, that we're all fucking parasites. Okay, if we're all parasites on this planet, then why does parasite A have to care about what parasite B does to parasite C? This is the goddamn truth. But like to Ted's point, they want to be coddled, and at the same time, they want to have, you know, they want to have their cake and eat it too. To put it plainly,
yeah, right. They want their mommy, right? Like their mommy's going to give them everything they need, and they're never going to be mean to them. And well, that's not the way the real world works, people.
100%, dude. When I got laid off, right? I saw my boys coming out of the meeting. I literally just looked at him, threw my hands. I said, "You ready to do this?" He's like, "Come on, you know." And the whole time I'm in there, I'm laughing, and he's trying to be all serious. I'm like, "Dude, I'm like, you don't gotta. I'm like, give me my paper. No hard feelings. I'll talk to you later. You know, you want to grab a beer? You got my number. Hit me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't. A company's got to make a decision, right? Obviously, they made a decision when it came to me. You know, high salary, piss people off. I mean, never had a bad review, but
piss some more people off. And then there's other people that you pissed off.
But I know
that. And then there's those people that were actually pissing on when they fired you.
But I don't take it personal.
You know why?
The fact that they put me on the no fly zone, that's where I got a little pissed off.
The three of us here are old school to a certain extent, right? We're old school when it comes to some of that. Because I think none of us, we are of the attitude, nobody owes you anything.
No.
Right?
Go out and get a new job.
Nobody owes you anything in this life. And you have to go out and get it. But the generation that wants to be coddled and wants to be shown where to go. Look, we showed you guys a video a few months ago. Remember about the guy who was like, who said it was a podcaster guy who's like, yeah, we don't even have to think anymore. Remember that? What was I forget the topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forget what it was.
Either, I think it had to do with COVID. But he was like, yeah, I don't have to think anymore. I just want to be told what to do. This is the generation, folks. The independent, the new folks who think they're, you know, free and whatever, they're not, folks. They want to be told what to do. They want to be coddled. You go here, you go there. They can't make decisions. Look, I was watching, I forgot what the video was about, but it was about, like, to Jeremy's point of this new generation going into the workforce, and how companies are struggling with their mentality, because what will happen is you'll get a new employee. And a lot of, you know, especially in IT, a lot of the jobs is you got to think for yourself, man. You got to fucking figure it out. You get a task, you get to hire to do something like this, figure it out. And so a lot of, you know, managers and people are saying, hey, these kids coming into the workforce, they don't know how to think for themselves. They've been told all their life, you know, this, and that, this is what you do. And there's no critical thinking anymore. All they want to be told is, okay, well, how do I do it? Well, you have to figure it out, son. Go and figure out. They don't have that mentality. They don't have that go get it. They were robbed of the monkey bars in when they were kids, and now they don't know how to climb and they don't know how to conquer that. I'm very putting it very simplistic, but this is what it really is. We've bubble wrapped them so much that they don't know how to live outside in the real world. And that's I think when I look at this and what the outrage that happened after better.com, because again, it was unanimous. Everybody was, even conservative people were posting this, and they were like saying this. And I'm like, I don't agree with that. Is the CEO a douchebag? Most likely you could probably pull up videos of him. But to me, it's like, you got to think about the 5,000 other people who were left and who are now have to take it. Oh, but people were saying, no, don't use better.com because they don't know how to fire the employees. Well, how do you fire somebody?
Yeah, firing's not an easy. It's not. There's not a good way to do it. It's a shitty feeling, right?
All right.
And to your point with these millennials, you know, and having these issues, we also come from the if you're not coming to me, I'm doing my job right. Right. If you're not on my they need the validation that they're doing a good job. They need their reviews. But if you look, no. But if you truly look at what they need, this diversity inclusion training, you have to with this new crop of people, this new school of kids coming in, you know, these young adults coming into the workforce, they come from that indoctrination fucking factory called college. So when they come out of college, it's about my feelings. It's about my pronouns. It's about my tone and my vibe. No, bitch, you come to work, you put your head down. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to tell you. You should know if you're a fucking, if you're an engineer in X, your job is this, right? If you need to be told how to do your job, then you should not be hired, right? And they're not used to people talking to them or not talking to them, because you have the college professors like, oh, hi, how's it going? How's your feeling, guys? He, him, are you okay? You know, fuck you. I don't got time for your fucking feelings. We're here to make this company money. Whether you're a salesperson, an IT, we got to keep this engine running. I ain't got time for this other shit. Like, we don't, but we've turned work into an extension of college to make people feel good and to feel comfortable going from that transition. Yeah, like, how's that like work we out? That's not your company's job. Your company's job is to make money and to make sure that the employees are happy to make money. But like, to a certain degree, you know, if you're not happy, go somewhere else. You know, see, go to the XY company.
There was like, this theory that infiltrated our system, and I think it was a push. It was collective, and the theory was that people would be more productive if they were celebrated. Okay, this is liberal thinking, right? Johnny did not achieve an A, but we're going to celebrate Johnny because of he did this, right?
And to the
point that we always make, we've generated confident idiots, right? They're confident in their ignorance. Okay. And we've highlighted emotions over accomplishments. And I think the conservative way has always been, you're going to get the confidence when you succeed, when you do good in whatever task you're given. That's how you're going to feel. Everything that you yearn for, you know, recognition and all this. But when you give them the reward without them having to go through the struggle, then when you rob them of that reward, they feel robbed, and that they feel like a lot of people from the better.com people who got let go. They're like, oh my God, the bottom line is that the company has to look out for their interest. If the guy is an idiot, then the guy's an idiot, and the company's going to reflect that. If he let go of their best employees, then the company's going to feel the repercussions of that. But let it happen. Don't fucking come out and say, oh, well, now nobody buy from better.com. Now nobody go to better.com for your mortgage, because, you know what I mean?
Like, right. And so to that point, if the people who are saying don't buy from better.com, maybe they should have been, hey, if you do refinance with better.com, maybe some of these people will keep their jobs. But no, they went the complete opposite direction. Exactly. Of don't use this company at all. Great. Well, there goes the other 5,000 people losing their job because telling them not to, you know, what?
They're not thinking about the others. They're thinking about the small amount instead of, hey, if there's 6,000, now there's 51.
Yeah.
Okay. Still use them, because if you boycott them, the 5,100 people are out of a job. But you know what they say? Those 5,100 people deserve it because they should see how they were treated and they should leave on their own merit. Like, bitch, I got a family to feed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's really easy to tell people what to do when you're not in that
position. When you're not.
It's really easy for me to say, hey, go fucking, you know, go run all these guns up to Canada and fucking free Canada. Bitch, I ain't going to free Canada. I don't give a fuck about Canada. You know what I mean? I'll support it, but fuck, I ain't doing it. You know, I ain't going to jail for
the
Canada.
The people who are beside themselves because the CEO gave himself a bonus right before Christmas. Oh, the audacity. They would do the same goddamn shit
if
they were in that position. You know it. I know it. Everybody else knows it. So what are we doing? We're entertaining lies. Yep.
Did the other 5,000 people that stayed there, did they get bonuses as well?
I don't know. I don't know.
But again, people like to criticize all this shit, what they see online. But if you put yourself in their position, you go, fuck, 1.5 million extra for me, or spread it across all my people. 99% of people, you know what they're going to do? Take the 1.5 million, because that's human nature. We're animals. It's survival of the fittest. I'm sorry. People don't like when I say shit like that, but it's a dog-eat-dog world. Sometimes you're on the fucking bottom. Sometimes you're on the top. You know, or like my dad likes to say, some days you're the dog, some days you're the hydrant. You know what I mean? Seriously. So, no. But it's true. Sometimes you're the dog pissing on something, and sometimes you're the fucking thing getting pissed on. I mean, that's life. Not everybody's a winner. Not everybody wins all the time. And if you don't like it, go create your own better.com that says, I'm going to split my money between everybody. So then you know what happened? They tried doing that. It was a company that tried doing that. And you know what happened? The guy that they put in charge, he's like, fuck this. He fired everybody because he wanted the money. It was like hey, we're going to be... what do you think he's gonna do? You know,
this
what I'm
segues
saying?
Into my next conversation. To your point, Tim, you know, sometimes there's winners and losers in life, and you just have winner. To. You have to sometimes. You know, it is what it is. You have to take it in stride. Well, a big loser, who thank God she didn't win, you know, goes out and gives what is that called? Like those master classes. You know how, you know, professionals or whatever. It's this big thing now. You go and do a master class and where people can learn and whatever. Hillary Clinton.
Let me
lead into this. So Hillary Clinton, on what she would have done had she, or what she would have said had she won the election. So she reads from her acceptance speech for what was prepared for her, or what she prepared supposedly. So here it is. I want to show you, this is first the intro to that master class, and then I'll show you an excerpt of her, like Tim says, bawling her eyes out. So watch this.
This was what I intended to say if I had been elected in 2016. My fellow Americans, today you sent a message to the whole world.
Okay, so that was a little teaser, and eventually they released an excerpt of her speech. So this is the one. This is the.
I wish I could walk down the aisle and find the little wooden seats where she sat, holding tight to her even younger sister, alone, terrified. She doesn't yet know how much she will suffer. She doesn't yet know she will find the strength to escape that suffering. That is still a long way off. The whole future is still unknown. And she stares out at the vast country moving past her. I dream of going up to her and sitting down next to her, taking her in my arms and saying, look at me. Listen to me.
Shut
you
up,
will
bitch.
Survive. Oh, you will have a good family of your own and three children. And as hard as it might be to imagine, your daughter will grow up and become the president of the United States. I am as sure of this as anything I have ever known. America is the greatest country in the world. And from tonight going forward, together, we will make America even greater than it has ever been.
Bing bong.
For each
so she took
and
Trump's
every
line.
One yeah. of us.
Bing bong.
Thank you. God bless you. And may God
she,
bless.
She didn't mention
America.
Anything about all the people she had killed to make it there. I'm confused.
She didn't even really cry. Let's be real. She wept. Like, dude, they all take an acting class.
It's an acting,
between
yes.
her. And fucking Ellen Page or Elliot Page, whatever the fuck that thing
Juicy
is.
Juicy Smollett.
Fucking Jesse Smollett. Yeah. Fucking Smollett. Somebody put the old Chappelle skit from a couple years ago when he blasted him about that whole shit. Oh my
That's
God.
Great.
It's fucking hilarious.
It. Yes. Yeah.
But they all act, they all cry on demand or weep on demand. And it's all bullshit. Alec Baldwin, which we're going to get into. These guys, all they're actors.
Yeah,
you can't believe what the fuck they're saying. There's no emotion there. No, she's not even looking at the camera. She's weeping into, oh, my mother, bitch. You probably hated your mother. She probably fucking told you. Put your back.
Yeah, I will give her the benefit of the doubt.
You don't rape children if you love your mother.
I give her the benefit of the doubt that she loved her mom, and that story, if it was real, that story did
okay.
bring up some emotion in
you
her.
You believe
okay.
anything that woman
hold on.
Says?
Hold on. Well, yes, no, exactly. Jeremy, think about it. This is the woman who stuck with a cheater, a freaking pedophile, for the sake of her career.
Yes.
I, you know,
But that doesn't change the way she feels about her mom.
Sure. Okay. But like Tim says, those are fake tears.
She may be a complete piece of shit, but even the pieces of shit that are on death row for killing and raping and murdering, they all say goodbye to their mother. Their last words are always, "Mom, I love you." Right?
That's maybe Jeremy. But I'm willing to believe that this woman for this scene did a take two, take three, take four.
No, 100%.
No, I promise 100%. You. I promise you.
We need one of those clapperboards. Take 47.
No, there's nothing authentic about this woman. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. There's nothing authentic. This is the same bitch that fucking bleached her fucking hard drive. No, I don't believe a goddamn. You can't believe the fucking devil.
Yes.
I'm with Tim on this.
Devil, you can't believe the fucking devil.
I'm with Tim on this. You're right, Jeremy. Even the wicked like their dogs and their children. I am with you. But I promise you, I don't think these emotions that she acted out were real. I think I'm willing to believe that this woman did a few takes just to get this down right, because it's orchestrated. Yeah. Moving on, I'm going to go with the, I don't know if you guys noticed this or saw this, but so there's been this rumor been going around that, and I think Tim mentioned it a few episodes ago, that Joe Biden and his VP, they're at odds with each other. And there is an infighting that's happening. And a lot of this has been rumor and, you know, nobody's been able to prove it. But something happened this week. This week, Bob Dole passed away. I don't think I'm going to go into.
I didn't know that.
Bob Dole passed away. And so at his eulogy or whatever. What is that called? Where they go and
wake.
Their wake? Is that what it's called? I forget. What
the viewing, the wake.
The viewing, yeah. He shows up and without telling you guys what happened, we'll describe it for the listener. I'll let Jeremy describe it for the listener. But you tell me what you see here, Jeremy, and if this seems odd to you.
Body language is everything, man.
So this is the VP obviously going to say, and I'm gonna make this bigger for you. But what you're seeing here, I'll let you describe it, Jeremy. That's her husband.
Is that her husband?
Yeah.
She's walking down the aisle wearing a stupid mask.
Yep.
With next to her husband. Joe Biden and his wife walking down the aisle. Joe looks like he's lost.
Uh-huh. Just keep watching. He whispers something.
They're both into. They're both. He's whispering. Joe Biden's whispering something to Jill.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Kamala Harris is looking down.
And then look at what happens.
She does
there.
Whisper. Yeah, they switch seats.
Now, Tim, Jeremy, I know you're the more reasonable one here. What do you think about that? What just happened? And describe it for the listener because they can't watch.
Yeah. So basically, there's. I would say five seats in the front row and Kamala Harris and her husband take the two on the left. And then Jill and Joe take the two on the right, but Joe is next to Kamala. And so he whispers something over to Jill. And then the next thing you know, they do the presidential shuffle. And now Jill is standing next to Kamala.
But is she standing next to Kamala? Look at how much space there is there, dude.
Yeah, I think there's like a whole nother seat in there. And I don't know. Did they space that out for COVID? There's a divide. A divide. Yeah. Okay.
So if you look when they first walk in, when they sit down, there's a space between the seats, between Jill and Kamala. But it's all about the body language. So when Joe Biden came down, they didn't even acknowledge each other. Not even like they weren't even smiling. They weren't even looking at each other. He walked right past her, doesn't even acknowledge. Look, so go back a frame. One more. Go forward. It's like right when he's walking past her. So the husband right acknowledges Joe.
Yeah.
She's kind of looking at him, but he's not looking at her. And
I think she's just staring off into the.
But she's staring in his direction, but they're not even.
The president of the United States walks in. She can't acknowledge him and he can't acknowledge her. And then he switches spots with his wife. So he's not next to her. This seems weird. Yeah,
that was a bad look. Bad look.
Well, yeah.
No, there's some infighting happening. Yeah, it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the rumor since, well, I mean, they didn't get along before the debates.
She called him a racist.
Correct.
Correct. I mean, during the debates.
That body language is everything. Like, Kamala Harris did not want to be at Bob Dole's fucking funeral. That was an obligation based on
the
title. Yeah. But now you got this president walking in who's a fucking blubbering fucking bonehead who fucking makes you look like shit, which you are a piece of shit too. But, you know, this is all fucked up.
What, it have something weird to do with her being on his right hand side?
Where he can't hear her, maybe?
I don't.
Maybe it's a health
maybe,
issue.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Which is even worse. No, I mean, but the thing is that he could have acknowledged her. To me,
there wasn't even a fist bump, nothing.
But there was no acknowledgement.
Well, no, I'm talking about Jill moving over. Maybe there's something of that. You know, he wanted to be on the left versus the right. I don't know.
That's not.
Anyway, so you know,
because if you're going to base it on that, look at the husband. So if you're going to go, you know, the husband is on the left, or you know, is on Kamala's right
to the right.
So yeah. So it goes husband, you know, man, woman, right.
Well, no, it goes president, his wife, vice president, her husband.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But not even an acknowledge. You see, I don't give a
in
shit.
In some cultures, that positioning is very important.
This fucking culture. I don't even fucking.
So yeah. I don't know if they're
what culture,
the deal
my
is.
Friend. This is they them.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I don't.
Pronouns.
All right. I don't know. To tell you the truth, I wouldn't give a squirt of piss for either of those two people. So I don't care if they don't get along.
But it sets.
They're both incompetent and they need to go away.
But these are the leaders of the quote unquote free world.
The not free world where they want to mandate everybody do whatever they say.
Not so free world leaders. Right. You know, America, this is who your people running this country are. Fucking two dumb fucks who can't even act like they get along.
I don't care if they don't get along.
I hope they don't get along. I hope they fucking destroy each other. So in the same at the same viewing, Biden decides to give a speech, or what do they call it? And so
he eulogy,
and I'm just gonna let you watch it and you tell me what you see, Jeremy. Oh my God!
You know the thing. You know how it goes.
It almost was like that.
Oh God.
Just watch. Let's watch this.
Faced periods of division, but at the end of the day, we've always found ways to come together. We can find that unity again. Then the message said, "End of message."
He was reading.
He finally clicked. He finally clicked. End of message. Said, end of message. Hashtag end of message was trending for almost 24 hours.
Oh my God!
Man.
Say, go back and do that again. Yeah. Go do that again. It took me a minute to click.
We've always found ways to come together. Find that unity again. Then the message said, end of message.
And the message said, end of message.
So he was quoting Bob Dole. I think there was at that point, he was quoting something he said, but then he's like, and his message ended with end of message. That's not. I believe that's what they're making, you know. Yeah.
He was reading and somebody left them instructions because again, with the millennials of the day, they need instructions. And so somebody wrote his thing and on there, they're like, end of message, end it here, Joe. No, he reads it.
Yeah. Like end moron. Of quote.
Okay.
So in the last
good
week,
stuff.
Potato
we've
cheese.
Had end of quote. We've had in the last 2 weeks, we've had end of quote and end of message. This is a big fucking
why
problem.
Are they still putting that shit on the teleprompter or on the speech? They shouldn't just stop doing it, idiots.
So you know when somebody when somebody's in a decline like this that doesn't have all their scruples and he can still read a piece of paper because he understands words and letters. So they're basically giving him, they're doing all the work for him, but his brain isn't processing the end of message.
Right. They need to stop. Just put it on the paper. Don't put end of message, end of quote, end of whatever.
I'll wait for somebody to go.
You should be on his team.
Fuck yourself, San Diego.
Yes. No. What
I'm waiting for.
They could have just said, "And let's go, Brandon," and he'll read it fucking moron. All right. Moving on. Jen Psaki. You know what? I'm not going to read that. Her fucking bullshit. Let me see, real quick, because we're running out of time. Yeah, go ahead.
But real quick, something else happened in the beginning of the week with this fucking blubbering fucking
potato in chief.
Yes. He had a fucking Zoom call with fucking Putin.
Did he fire 900 people in Russia?
To talk about fucking Ukraine. Yes. This fucker gets in front of his computer. The sound's not working. So Russian state media actually played the whole thing of Biden trying to go in. Biden's fumbling around. He's going like this. Like, he looks like a fucking dumb fuck.
Oh, he is a fucking dumb fuck.
But the Russian president
is laughing his ass off.
Off at the guy. And you see Biden going like this, like, came and get his thing going. He's like, hello. And it's like, this motherfucker.
I want to see that. Do you have that on video?
But this is the leader of this country telling Russia, you better not invade the Ukraine or we're going to be very upset.
Oh, yeah. They're going to invade the Ukraine.
I can't take this fucking guy serious.
Would you take him serious? Yeah.
Oh, look.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Ukraine looks at that and they're like, oh, Jesus, it's over.
Taiwan.
They're like the prosecutor in the Rittenhouse trial when the guy said, no, I only pulled my gun out, or pulled his gun out after I pointed my gun at him. He just goes face slap, right?
Yeah, he shot me after I pointed my gun at him.
Yeah.
What?
And the prosecutor's just like, that's what do you do? Yeah. Anyways, next.
So, and this is going to be a little potpourri, but politics. Project Veritas. Again, the last time we talked about Project Veritas, the FBI had ransacked their offices, and because they're scared, the left, the intelligence agencies, they're scared of an actual real journalist organization, journalism that's happening with Project
Veritas. Real
reporting with Project Veritas, and they're exposing left and right. And this week, a great one that they did, and this is actually out in Arizona. They exposed another fraud who was running for a congressional seat in Arizona. And here is that video. I want to show you this because what happened afterwards, I think, in my opinion, is going to expose a lot of fake Republicans that are out there or that are people are starting to be like, wait, what is happening? Why is there a connection between this Republican and that Republican who are running for congressional seats? And it's people are starting to ask questions. But again, this person calls himself a conservative, Jeremy, and Project Veritas exposed him. And I want you to see what this from this guy's own words, what he said.
The party is disgusting to me. The stuff that they're doing, it should be criminal, and they should all be thrown in prison. Yes.
Yeah.
The McCarthys, the Cawthorns, the whole audit bullcrap thing that they're doing. I listen to what my counsel tells me. That's when they say, go get an endorsement from somebody, I say, all right, cool. No, I don't have respect for Candace Owens anymore. Well, I take her donation and take her donors, absolutely, but it goes no further than that.
Yeah.
I would never invite her to a Christmas party.
Meet Alex Stovall, Arizona Republican candidate for U.S. Congress. An insider within his campaign brought us comments many of his voters and those in the Republican Party will find troubling. From America First messaging to issues of race, big business, tax incentives, and support for completing the border wall, Alex seemed to send mixed messages, saying one thing in private and selling his voters in the media on something entirely different in public.
Yes.
Yeah.
The McCarthys, the Cawthorns, the whole audit bullcrap thing that they're doing. It's just another way for them to funnel money for the American people. You know how much money they've raised from this audit? Over $10 million.
I try and tell people the audit is paramount, but it's not mission critical. What's mission critical is that we take the House back. If we get this audit done, but the Democratic Party still owns the House, it was in vain. We've got to take the House back. Once the audit is done and truth will come to light, we can make those corrections and make sure it never happens again.
So what are your thoughts on the election then? Do you think that Trump won?
No. Do I think there was fraud? Yes.
Okay.
But not enough to overturn the election.
Mm.
But I'm not going to broadcast that everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a Republican moderate. I vote policy. Yeah. I'm not part of the country club and the peanut gallery. Have no intent to be.
We need guys that are going to, or girls,
to implement policies and bills that are going to make America stronger. Continue what Trump started.
More than likely he'll endorse me, but I'm not going to publicly advertise it. People didn't like it. Not in Arizona.
In private, Alex has no problem not only lambasting the party and the views he claims to associate with, but better yet, he still takes their money.
Now, what I say within my own campaign is different. Granted, I don't want to seem arrogant. That's why I listen to what my council tells me. That's when they say, go get an endorsement from somebody, I say, all right, cool. No, I don't have respect for Candace Owens anymore. Will I take her donation and take her donors? Absolutely, but it goes no further than that.
Yeah.
I would never invite her to a Christmas party.
But why hide his true feelings about the Republican Party? Well, it appears to be a balancing act strategy to maintain favor with mainstream Republicans while also appealing to more moderate voters.
You don't win Arizona by being super right Republican.
Yeah.
You ever played spades or goldfish?
Uh-huh.
You never show all your cards, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to win and other people probably won't. Yes, I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
But am I going to beat on my big old monkey chest running around telling a whole bunch of people I am? First off, it's going to piss people off. Mm. It's going to turn people off, and no one's going to want to give you money. There are a lot of independents here. Independents are what determine the vote.
They want to vote for me just so they can say that they elected the youngest black Republican in American history.
Like, it doesn't matter what your policies are, they just care about that?
Yep. That's everybody. Do you really think people care about policies? Oh, yeah. Getting a real newsflash about how politics work.
Alex's ever-changing, flip-flopping, shape-shifting views aside.
All right, I'm gonna leave it there.
I didn't even know who this guy was until I saw this video. You know, when it popped off, and I was like, I didn't even know he was running. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
There's a lot of seats like that.
They're obviously that means they're not playing identity politics with this fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, one thing again that this opened up for. The floodgates on was a lot of people started asking, well, who endorsed this guy? Who has he worked with? Who has he endorsed? Who is he in connection with? And one of the rising stars in the Republican Party who had her catfight with Candace Owens, Kimberly Klasick. I don't know. We showed you guys the commercials that she did out in Baltimore.
Yeah. Right.
But she had a fallout with Candace Owens. Candace Owens called her a fake, and the ties that she has with this guy, Candace Owens may have been right, because at that time we were like, well, what's happening? Why would Candace Owens say this? What does she know that we don't know? And so really quickly, right after this happened, after this guy was exposed, that he's a fake, because to me, if you're a Republican, why would you talk about a Trump like that? Why would you talk about Candace Owens like that? Why would you talk about Cawthorn and whatever all the other
McCarthy,
all the other Republicans who everybody in the conservative party supports? You're not a conservative. And he says it. He says you can't win Arizona if you supposedly far right. And so, but he's been touting something else. And that's what Project Veritas did. They were showing videos of him saying the complete opposite. In private, he was saying that the audits were a fraud, money raising for the Republicans. And in public, he was saying, yeah, we need to do the audits and we need to, you know, find out what happened. So he wasn't being genuine. So days later, and I think this was yesterday or either earlier today or yesterday, he comes up with a video where he tries to basically backtrack and, you know, the words that he said, and he calls them allegations. I'm going to show you that video, but a lot of people are basically telling him, dude, you're done. You know, no Republican's going to vote for you now. You're done. Just get out.
You might as well become a liberal.
Exactly.
Well, the problem is are they going to put that on mainstream media, or is it just going to be
this is not,
he's nobody. He could have been somebody in the Republican Party. And I think a lot of Republicans would have supported him, right? They would have. A young guy, you know, who looks like Barack Obama.
You're thinking more of a long-term thing than a short-term.
But you got to remember, the Republican Party needs younger people, because the Republican Party is known as the, you know, those country club guys with the blue blazers, the fucking V-necks and all that. Like, they're
Alex P. Keaton.
Most of them you don't even want to be friends with, because they look like douchebags. You know what I'm saying? So you bring in that younger, now you're attracting the younger voters. Like, oh, okay, they have young blood in there, like the Cawthons and all that. Oh, I'm sorry, the Hawthorns. And you're realizing Cawthorn that it's
Cawthorn or Hawthorne? I forget his last
name. It's Cawthon. It's Cawthon. That was my mistake. But like you're seeing that it's a melting pot of everybody. You know, Hispanics, women, black, white. You know, it doesn't matter, right? It used to be like, you know, a Republican all look like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. That's the old Republican Party that we do not like. The Mitt Romneys, all them. But you get the Gateses, the Marjorie Green Gale, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I always say her name wrong. Fucking the Boberts, you know, the people that fight, the people that the McConnells hate because they can't control them. And they're talking to people like us, the blue collar or low end or middle class white collar workers that, you know, give a shit about this country, that now we're fully engaged and getting involved. You know what I mean? Before, nobody ever got involved. Oh, I vote Republican. They have my best interest. They're conservative. They go to church like me. They got my values, but we're seeing they don't.
Right. Yeah, man. Politicians, right? You can't trust them any further than you can throw them.
Exactly. I'm kind of
showing, well, Trump broke the Republican Party. That's
right. And it yeah. maybe was for
anyway.
You. So
I think so.
Let me just play a little bit of this and, of what he comes out and says. But again, a lot of people are just saying, dude, take the L, learn from this, and be real, be honest. Don't fucking be a fake.
Good evening. My name is Alex Stovall, and I'm a congressional candidate in Arizona's 9th District. I would like to start by making it clear who I am. I am a conservative, and I am a soldier who loves this country and wants to protect our God-given freedoms. In the recently released videos of me, I was venting with my staff regarding my personal frustrations. I should have been more clear about my frustrations, where they were directed, and why. My main frustrations come from the establishment. They do a lot of talking and not a lot of action when it comes to conservative policies. Politicians have let us down time and time again. Regarding the vote audit, I mentioned that I believed, like President Trump, that there was fraud in our election. My frustrations stem from the fact that the establishment was more focused on the theater of audits rather than policies to secure our elections. I feel that establishment leaders used and are still using the audits to raise money from Americans instead of enacting real changes to secure constitutional right to fair elections that we can trust that are accurate. Regarding the other comments in the videos released, I had attended a meeting where several people approached me and stated that I could win because I'm black. I want to be known by my policies, not my race.
Well, that's, you see, again, I'm not going to play the rest of him, but it sounds nice what he's saying, but the reality is that you're really not running on your policies, my man. You're hiding who you really are. Maybe he is somewhat of a conservative, moderate conservative, but then he should come out and say that. And even now he's, you know, he's not answering the things that he said. He said he doesn't like Trump. He said he doesn't like Candace Owens. What he could have done is he could have, you know, stood there and said, this is why, right? These are the things. But a lot of people, conservatives, are looking at him and like, bro, you just are lying and you're not learning from this. I think he's trying to play the typical politician where you say one thing and you do something else. A lot of people are tired of that. I think a lot of conservatives are tired of that, of the fake candidates. Yep.
He got caught. He got caught out there. And by backtracking, you make it where it's like, you know what? It's like when you get caught lying to your girl. You know what I mean? You get caught up in a lie, but then you keep, like, you keep digging to get yourself out of it, but you're going deeper and deeper, and it's just, you're better off just saying, yeah, I fucked up. I lied to you and went to the club instead of fucking going to my mom's house. You know what I mean? Like you're just better off just saying, yes, I said those things because of X, Y, and Z. People still might have not have voted for you, but you were at least left there with respect, with a little bit of respect, because you owned it. You got caught, and you owned up to your reasons. But you know what? A lot of more people might have voted for him if he would have just came out and said that, because there are a lot of people that are frustrated with this audit. with the Wendy Rogers going around the country saying, oh, arrest everybody, perp walks, and she's raising all this money. But again, during the audit, I'm a big fan of that audit, right? I think there was a lot of good out of it. But we all knew nothing was ever going to come out of it due to the fact that they weren't going to let it. The swamp is so deep between Ducey and Barnovich.
But see, they're not going to do anything. I think he could have won if he would have come out and said that. If he would have come out and said from the get-go, said, hey, folks, look, there's a lot of Republicans who are just making money out of this. You know, but he didn't say that. And so he should just be honest. Just say the truth, and maybe people will support you. Maybe they don't. But then you don't have to come out and say, and you know, he goes on to read a biblical verse. Let me see if I can play this last part.
Yeah. In America,
you got caught.
And winning this election to ensure Democrats lose control of the U.S. Congress in 2022. 2023 and moving on forward.
Now, I'm going to leave it that with this guy. Again, a lot of Republicans are asking themselves, well, how many freaking foxes are in the hen house when it comes to candidates like this? Because, you know, he had a lot of ties, and a lot of people came out and like Kimberly Klasick, she was like, yeah, nope, we're not supporting this guy anymore. So, maybe that's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is Dan Crenshaw just did an interview the other day, and he was saying, you know, and I'm not sticking up for anything, but he did mention, he goes, when Trump came in office, he's like, all those people in the Freedom Caucus, they didn't fucking like him. They didn't want to vote for him. They sabotaged a lot of this stuff in the beginning. And the people that voted for all of his policies were like the Adam Kissingers and myself. And we stuck behind him because we agreed with his policy. But he's like, a lot of the people did not like him. People in the Senate did not like him. You know, they would not pass a lot of his policies, but now they're all like, oh, Trump is the man and blah, 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 because they realize without Trump, you can't win. And I'm not saying Crenshaw is right or he's wrong, but you're starting to see the problem. The Republicans have a gift right now. They are gaining so much momentum with minority voters because they're tired of this party. But the problem is, they're all seeing it, but now they're all trying to fight for getting it and who's going to be in charge of the House, the Senate, and who's going to be the. And instead of working together to say, you know what, first we got to beat communism. We got to get this communist socialist shit out. Then we'll fucking fight amongst ourselves and see who's going to run it. But they're not even united. They can't even vote against a bill in unison. Fucking Adam Kissinger, like the last three votes for like debt ceilings and reconciliation, all that. He's been voting with the fucking Democrats, you know, because he's trying to get on their good graces because they're eliminating his district in Illinois, and he's retiring. But it's amazing that this party is not in unison and they blame Trump for it. It's like, nah, homie, Trump's not there no more. You don't have to say, I love Donald Trump, but you can say, you know what? We need to stand united to stop this fucking socialist movement that's going on. We can all agree on that as conservatives, maybe not a Trump conservative or the. Socialism is bad. Communism, bad. Build back better, no good. Infrastructure bill was all a bunch of crap. Should have been just, you know, $500 billion for roads and pipes. That's it. Not this other trees and shit, you know? But they can't even be united in this shit anymore. And what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? I mean, we're going to fuck it up again because that's what conservatives do. If you don't get all these America First people in there, you can win 100 seats, but you'll lose 100 seats in 2024 because nothing's going to get done.
Yeah, yeah. They promise one thing and they don't deliver. let's see. We can talk about everything that's happening out in the world, Australia, Austria, Luxembourg.
Well, I was going to say, give a quick rundown based on our intro, right? We can go quick high level.
Yeah.
You mentioned the L's. Let's go through the L's.
Okay. So
you know, in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, let me bring that up then. So let's first talk about Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett,
fucking prick.
Guilty. Next. But that L's mean losses, right? So the Democrats have had some big, you know.
Oh, the Democrat losses?
Yeah. Okay. So these are Democrat L's this week, you know, in the last 2 weeks.
Again, you know, you got to keep in mind that after that big win from, what's his name? Kyle Rittenhouse.
Kyle Rittenhouse.
the losses for the Democrats has been glorious to watch. I mean, let's start with, Jussie Smollett. So this week, obviously, he was in court, and a few things happened while he was in court. One of them was the prosecutor kept reading his his statements that he had said, and which were laced with the N-word. And Juicy Smollett got uncomfortable and interrupts the prosecutor, Dan Webb, you know, again, as he was reading aloud everything. And he's like, hey, can you stop saying the N-word? Because out of respect for everybody who's, you know, in this room. And so, you know, the hypocrisy, right? Because, I mean, the same people that you tried to gaslight into a race war with, you know, you made up a hoax about. These are the people that you're concerned about now being offended by the N-word. Like, come on, man.
Can the accused, is that the right word? Can the accused just stop the prosecutor in the middle of his sentence and say, hey, I don't like what you're saying?
Well, they think they can.
That seems like complete.
Juicy thought he was. And look, and I think this played against
him. Did the judge shut him down?
Unfortunately, for this case, there was no cameras.
So we don't know what happened.
And we don't know what happened. Oh, how convenient for the fucking left. And look, but justice did prevail, because I think I think his little thing that he had with the prosecutor kind of revealed his character. Like, to your point, Jeremy, I think he thought that he could just come in and be like, hey, can you? Because throughout his whole life, I think people pander and they're like, oh, yeah, whatever you say, you know. And you know, people saw that and they're like, dude, come on, man. You're a fucking liar. You made this whole shit up. You wanted to start a race war. You're done. So, you know, to the point of him being upset about him using that word, all I could think about when that news broke and everybody was reporting on it, I'm like, can we think of a derogatory term for white people that is forbidden to say out loud, like the N-word?
Nope.
And we can't. And then the question is why? It's weird to me. Nobody asks this goddamn question. We have a double standard when it comes to race, where one race is superior to the rest. It's weird, and I don't like it. If this is a derogatory term, then it should be banned from everywhere, and everybody should be banned, and there should be terms for every race that you cannot say. You guys want to play this game? Let's do it. They don't want to play that game. They want to be able to say their, you know, say the cracker or whatever, or all the other things that are derogatory for white people, while nobody can say the N-word. Fuck out of here. This angers me so much, because, you know, we play along with this. We all do. We encourage this bullshit. Anyways, so the left, you know, was tweeting out, you know, condemning everything that occurred, because they were angry.
He was found guilty on 5 of the 6 charges, and they blame white supremacy for it. It's like, wait a minute. The guy got caught making up a complete hoax to start the race war, but it's white supremacy why he was found guilty. Like, no, you got busted. The guys that you paid, the Nigerian brothers, they testified saying, yeah, they had the video of them practicing it the night before. Like, come on. Like, that right there, guilty, done. Like, there's no deliberate. Like, I don't need to deliberate for 10 fucking
days. So you said 5 out of the 6?
What? Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, you don't know. Do you know what the charges were?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I hope the law comes down. Yeah, I hope he has to spend some time in jail.
When this happened, this is what, 3 years ago that this happened? 2 years ago?
2019
this happened? I remember when it happened, I was so angry. It's like, how did he get away with this, right? They swept it under the rug. You know, the Obamas pulled some strings, got him, you know, basically got the charges dropped. And then they sealed the case so that no one could look into the details of it. And it's just like, how are they getting away with this? How do they just blatantly get away with this?
Swamp runs deep, my friend.
Well, yeah, and I'm not really even super sure how it came back around.
See, because I think what happened is, I'm speculating here. I don't have no evidence, but I'm willing to believe that he wasn't alone in this, guys. I think that there was other people who were involved, because think about what was happening at that time. Anything that they can do to create a race war. This is what the left is good at. This is what they do. This is their modus operandi. This is how they they are able to spread their fucking ideas. Because as soon as you divide people by class, by race, then you can come in and be the savior and implement your stupid ideas. And so, you know, we think, oh, maybe they just, by coincidence, they were just supporting him. No, there was more here. And he's been the scapegoat, because when they got caught, they're like, sorry, buddy. And look, there was a ton of memes after he, you know, lost his case, a ton of memes that the conservatives were putting out there. One of them was, somebody had said, Jussie Smollett can rest assured that his assailants is going to receive proper justice. Yeah. himself. Yeah.
But you got to remember, I mean, cause I don't want to spend much more time on this, but you got to remember with, you know, every blue check fucking person came. Reverend Al Sharpton came out. My brother, Jussie Smollett, you know, justice has got to get served for these hate crimes. Feel better. Ellen Page at the time, who's now Elliot. You know, at the time she had a complete meltdown on, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, where she was like, oh, but my privilege allows me to say, like, shut the fuck up, bitch. You know what I mean? Oprah, Obama's, like, they all came out.
Biden, Kamala.
Biden, Kamala. Oh, he's such a good person. And hopefully he gets over this. You know, we got to fix this in America. And this is Donald Trump's fault. And they kept going back.
The sad part about this guy, you know, who either he came up with it on his own, but I believe that he was used. The sad part about it is that, you know, he will spend time in jail and he's going to be forced to share the jail cell with his attacker. That's what's sad about this whole thing.
You see him every day in the mirror.
I was reading something about it. He can go from 3 years all the way down to probation. He's getting probation.
Yeah, they're not.
You already know he's getting probation.
Yeah, so they, okay, I was going to ask what did he get, but
no, they, so they didn't decide. Yet. They didn't decide. The judge decided not to give him the sentencing right then and there, and the sentencing is the arraignment is for like a month from now.
Yeah, he's hopefully
okay. Yeah.
Anyways, something else. There's a link here, and this is why I say that this was more coordinated. So CNN, we're gonna get to Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, but there was a connection there with Jussie Smollett and CNN, and that connection was Don Lemon. Don Lemon got caught texting Jussie Smollett. This was part of the evidence that the prosecution
admitted it. Dumbass admitted it.
Let me show you this the story that broke. So CNN anchor accused of inserting himself into the investigation. So I don't know all the details here, but the thing is that he was texting and I think was texting him that the police that they didn't believe him before they.
Yeah. So Lemon basically, or Lemon, whatever, Don, I'm just gonna call him Don. So Don, this, they were going back and forth and Don told him, he's like, look, dude, he's like, according to my sources, Chicago PD doesn't believe you. They don't believe your story. So he was back channeling through his contacts, exactly like what Cuomo was doing, inserting himself into the process, using his contacts to feed
information about the investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, when's he getting fired?
Well, you know, if he does get fired, it would be the second in the most recent. Aside from their a year ago, where that other guy who got caught masturbating in a Zoom call, he got his job back. CNN is not batting well when it comes to their freaking anchors. So Chris Cuomo, another guy who was forced to resign, and I thought I had the fucking link for that one. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. The fall of Chris
Cuomo. Did he resign or did they fire him?
Look at this one.
He was put on leave, and then after after 2 days of an active investigation through a third-party law firm, and then all the texts came out, they fired him.
Okay.
Then he has a radio show on Sirius XM. Got fired from that. And then he had a book deal.
Yeah, they pulled the
book deal from him after all this came out this week as well. Mr. Cuomo is not batting 1,000, but what's interesting, I said to them, The interesting thing about
Babylon B. Hold on, we got to explain this.
Read it.
So there's a picture of Chris Cuomo and what's his name?
Andrew Cuomo.
Andrew. I was going to say Mario for some reason.
That's his father.
Chris and Andrew. And it says underneath it, it says unemployment rate among Cuomo brothers rises to 100%. Babylon B.
Dude, the Babylon B is actually like
they're having a tough time because all the crap that they used to make up is actually headlines now.
I know, that's what's scary. But something that's interesting about Chris Cuomo, when he said on his SiriusXM show and through other statements, he's like, the head over at CNN, Zuckerberg. He was fully aware of what he was doing. He knew how active he was. So he basically is outing the CEO at CNN saying he knew I was fully fully involved in my brother's.
Good. He needs to go too. They need to burn the building.
So they're all turning on each other now. This is, I'm watching this going, they all were on the same page to get Trump out. Whether they liked each other or not, they all had the same script and the same play. We got to get Trump out. And it worked. Their ratings were through the roof. Everybody believed it. And then slowly but surely, Trump disappears. January 6th, everybody was, but now January 6th is falling apart. COVID's falling apart. You're not reporting the news. Your brother is not the guy that everybody says he was. You covered for like it. Mm-hmm. And now they're going, oh shit, we have a new owner coming in. He's saying that we want to get back to the news, and a lot of people are probably going to lose their jobs. So now they're all kind of like getting catty with each other. I love watching this. I love watching the demise of CNN.
It's good because I think it goes further, right? I think the divide, you got the Kamala Harris camp, you got the Joe Biden camp, and there's a war happening. And I think it's trickling down to, this level where it's visible. But there was more, I don't want to get into the rest of them. I did want to mention some of the wins here that happened, in the courts throughout these couple weeks. U.S. District Court out in, Louisiana has issued a preliminary injunction, and they wrote that the government defendants do not have the authority to implement mandates, these type of mandates that they're trying to do. Judge out in Georgia, the Southern District, determined that President Biden never had authority under federal procurement law to issue the executive order, those executive orders that he's trying to do. And look, a lot of people are saying Biden knew this. They all knew this. They have legal teams who know this, but they're counting on people getting the vaccine. They're scaring them
into getting the vaccine. Cause once you get it, you can't unget it. Right. So you're going to lose your job if you don't get this vaccine. And a large percentage of Americans are like, well, shit, I need my job. I guess I got to go get the vaccine. And they go get it. They get whatever, two jabs and a stab, whatever you want to call it. And then they go back to it. They're allowed.
Two jabs in a stab. Sex tape. Jeremy sex tape.
Oh, wow.
Two jabs in a stab.
This guy. God,
sorry.
Anyways, what was I saying?
Oh, my bad. I lost. I'm sorry. I'll stop that.
All these mandates. So they all knew
right. So Biden knew damn well that they weren't legal. Like you said, they all had lawyers that told them this isn't going to fly. It didn't matter. He's scared a certain percentage of people into getting a vaccination that they can't unget. And so he doesn't care. Like we said at the beginning of the show, right? They lie to you because they think the ends justify the means, right?
Yes.
They scared you into complying. And the fact that a lot of people did comply, but now that the fact that a lot of people didn't comply and they didn't wait for the courts because in the beginning, like New York City, like they kept, New York City, the healthcare, like they all kept getting slapped down early on in, August, September, October. Now coming to November, it went to appeals and went to this. So the appeals, the first appeal from the Daily Wire that went to the Sixth Circuit, they said, injunction, boom, stops. Now it opened it up for all the other judges to go, oh, okay, somebody else did it. we know this is wrong as well. So now we're going to start going on because
the first domino to fall, right?
Exactly. So once the first domino fell, they were like, okay, we could be in unison with this because nobody wanted to be the first one, right? Because they didn't want the backlash.
To your point, and I think this plays out everywhere. I hear a lot of people tell me, I'm scared. I don't, I feel like I'm alone when my own job, everybody agrees with it. And I think that all it takes is one person with courage to get other people who are maybe thinking it, but they won't say it. And they got somebody to get the first jab, but to Jeremy's point, there's more jabs, folks, that are coming, boosters. This is never going to end. And I think people are starting to realize, oh shit, I got my card for the booster. Yeah, I'm all good. Oh shit, there's booster 4, 5, 6. Now I'm not compliant anymore. Now I have to, and it's like, well, what is going on? And I think people are starting to catch on, and people are getting sick of it. And they're like, fuck this shit.
What happens when the government stops paying for it? And you now have to start paying $100 every time you need a vaccination for a family.
The government's always going to pay for this because they're mandating it. So the government's
printing money. Well, they're inflating our currency, yada, yada, yada.
So vaccine gets approved, gets the emergency author, and something else happened with the DOD. The DOD actually got fucked because they were telling everybody when they were asking that the shot they're giving everybody is the approved one because it's the same thing. One of the courts actually said, no, it's not the same thing. It's a different formula. Stop lying. That's the one that you need to give. So DOD is kind of like they've been pushing back on the military, not giving them the vaccines, apparently, because they ruled that they were lying to them, like always. So anyway, but one of the interesting things, shit, I lost my train of thought. Fuck, what was I saying before the DOD?
You lost a whole train? How do you lose a train?
Train of thought. Oh my God.
Joke, yes. Dad jokes over here. You gotta forgive me here.
No, but with these mandates.
You're doing a
end of story. I had a Joe Biden moment. You know what I'm saying?
Joe Biden.
What's up, baby?
Take me out
Hey, yo.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll leave it there. I do want to move on to, and we're going to leave it in a funny note. So, world's first living robots can now reproduce. And it's
you saw that, right?
This is not a sci-fi, folks. Let me show you this.
This is real. This is some fucked up shit.
I want to see this. What are you talking about? Artificial life.
He's probably got a different joke, but they actually did this. Oh, this is okay.
World's first living robot can now reproduce, scientists say.
Uh-huh. This is dangerous.
So, what's a living robot?
Xenobots is what they're called.
Yeah.
Xenobots. Uh-huh. Okay, what's a xenobot?
I don't know. You have a fucking
tiny programmable living things made of several thousand frog stem cells. These pioneer xenobots
they're made from frog
could
cells.
Move around in fluids, and scientists claim they could be useful for monitoring radioactivity, pollutants, drugs, or diseases. I don't know, guys. This is fucking weird. Now, okay,
they're opening Pandora's box with this.
No, this is Skynet.
They made movies about shit like this.
This is fucking Skynet. Yeah, this is the Matrix. Yeah, this is Terminator. Let me show you this. Here's another one. Okay, because we started off the conversation about. Look at this one. This is an actual.
You have the video of it.
Robot. Oh, I want you to watch this shit.
I want to punch this thing in the face.
So for the listener, this is a fucking. It looks like iRobot, dude, and the expressions that it's making in the face are so human. We are no more than a decade away from seeing these things walking around it. I'm telling you,
it's not even a decade. Remember last when you had your article about 2 weeks ago in the last show when you had your article about it was kind of like the metaverse shit with Apple and the phones.
Oh yeah, the
alternate reality
AR.
So part of the alternate reality is the metaverse, and I brought up transhumanism. This is part of it.
Fucking
this is
weird.
Part of it. And we're all like, oh, this is cool. This is iRobot. And they would never use it against us. The same people that told you to go in your house and hide from a fucking flu.
Yeah.
You're going to believe that this shit is going to be in your best interest and not. Hey, it's really easy to have that go in your house.
Get back
in
your
house. You're not complying.
Right.
What are you going to do? You give them a gun. They turn around and point it at you. There's no, you didn't comply? But they're sorry. This is not cool. I don't give a fuck. You know, we joked about earlier having the sex toys and all that, the sex robots, but this shit is not, this is not good. This is scary shit.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, every major technological advancements have been determined by what the porn industry adapts to or adopts. Yeah, this is the truth. And you know, you're saying, well, you know, maybe we don't want an iRobot future because that means Terminator and that means fucking the annihilation of the human race. But I think people will gladly give that up for a night with sex with a robot.
You know, they're tackling the emotional and the need, but we're going down a real slippery slope and everybody's just so focused about wearing a fucking mask. But,
on a happy note, YouTube finally removed the unlike button. So there's that. We can celebrate that.
Great. We're out of real problems.
Joe Biden got his wish. Nobody can realize how bad his videos are.
Exactly. They were all fucking getting 10 times more unlikes, dislikes than
so likes. So, you know, so you heard what happened this week, right? With that administration, because they're so upset about his coverage in the media because he's such a shitty president and he's got the worst. He's actually now the worst president ever.
He beat Carter.
Yes.
He beat Carter.
His numbers are worse than Carter because inflation now is at a 40-time high. Okay.
Yeah. 40-year high.
But that's Trump's fault. I saw it on CNN.
Right. But he is now.
Was it Chris Cuomo?
His numbers. Sorry. Yeah. His numbers are worse than Carter's.
Okay. Can see that.
They killed this motherfucker's presidency in his infancy stage. They killed it in the crib, man. As Steve Bannon likes to say, he's like, people, we got him. But this fucking guy had a meeting. His administration sat with all the major media heads and say, how can we spin the media back into our favor?
That's collusion.
And they complied. So Jim fucking Cramer, collusion. This fucking guy, I used to like Jim Cramer, but you know what? He's another fucking shill. He comes out yesterday after they got announced they had this meeting. Motherfucker comes out yesterday and says, man, he's like, I've been doing this right. He's like, we got the best economy ever, the best numbers, the unemployment numbers, the best we've ever had. Bitch, first of all, you're still recovering jobs from the pandemic. So you didn't create jobs. You're coming with some back. Doesn't count how many people lost their jobs from mandates and how many people just quit their jobs in general to not go back to work because you're printing money. But this guy was fucking sucking this administration's cock so fucking bad.
All you got to ask yourself is how much they paid him. But I want to say on the YouTube thing. So, you know, they get rid of the fucking unlike or dislike button, whatever it's called. And
it thumbs down.
So what's happening is people are getting smart, right? So on videos that you can still comment, people will comment and say, hey, use this as the unlike or dislike button or the thumbs down button. And so people are liking that first top comment. And it's the dislike button. So, you know, the truth prevails. You know, the truth finds a way, folks. And look, this is the service that, you know, leftists are doing to content creators, you know, in their wokeism. Because, see, the reason YouTube was successful when it started was because it was organic. You know, people went in and they're like, oh, let me just upload my video. And it just became... It was viral, you know, and that was moved it. Now it's just AstroTurf, right? Because it's fake now. People can't see what people really like or what they don't like. And what they're getting pushed is videos that are deemed fair by, like you were saying, Tim, the collusion that's happening with the tech media giants and all these, you know, and this politicians. And so people are getting this fake artificial food and being told no, this is what's popular out there. It's fucking lying. So the left ruins everything, and I think that this paves the way to Trump's social media. You know, as long as they don't fucking come in and try to do the same thing that the left is doing, that's going to be their demise. I think this has potential to be the new grassroots and the new viral sites because they are not. What is that called? Where you get fake shit. This is what they're pumping to the people, these organizations that try to do that and give you fake shit. It's not going to work. It won't work. Propaganda? It's going to be their demise. Yeah, it's propaganda.
Pandering.
And look, if Facebook wants to create the Meta world, then they're going to, they better adapt to, you know, things that are in out in the real world, Facebook, you know, which is not everybody's going to like you folks. Right. And you're going to know, you know. And so anyways, I don't want to get into that. Look, we have to close it out. We have to close it out. We're going to leave it there. Save it for the next podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Hopefully Trump brings out his. Oh, he got a deal. We'll talk about it on the next episode. But anyway, find us. Give us a like, share some of the content, follow us, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
See ya.
Truth Social, baby.
Truth Social.
That's his website.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.